Hi, I'm Asha Tomlinson.
And I'm David Common.
And we're hosts of CBC Marketplace. We're award-winning investigative journalists that want to help you avoid clever scams, unsafe products, and sketchy services.
Our TV show has been Canada's top investigative consumer watchdog for more than 50 years, but this is our first podcast.
CBC Marketplace podcast is available now on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hi, I'm Paul Haverschrude. Do you want fries with that? Those six little words are upselling at its finest. If you've ever said yes, you've been upsold. Now, sometimes it's fries, low stakes, but other times.
There was a lot of sales pressure in every aspect of the bank.
We had high expectations, or sales quotas.
We're encouraged to push our targets over clients.
Who's putting targets ahead of clients? Canada's big banks, at least according to some of their current and former employees.
It's not a customer service or advice-driven environment. We're there to sell and make money for the bank.
Today, we have a bonus episode featuring Marketplace, CBC's investigative consumer program. You probably know Marketplace from TV, but today, it's also on the airwaves. Or, you know, podcast waves. Whatever, some kind of waves. Erica Johnson reports for Marketplace. Erica, hi.
Hey there, Paul. Upselling. As someone who reports on consumer issues, that is something that I hear a lot about. People say they are frustrated with banks pushing products that they don't need and they never asked for.
Well, what kind of stuff?
Things like credit cards, loan insurance, mortgage protection. And in some cases, consumers are telling us they're finding charges on their bills for products they don't even recall signing up for.
Even though I had explicitly told them that I didn't want any sort of loan protector service that they offered me, they still put it onto my account.
I don't recollect ever seeing a letter or anything that notified me that I was being covered by this useless insurance. $95 a month for a useless insurance policy has caused me quite a bit of grief.
So he's talking 95 bucks a month. That's like nearly $1,200 a year. And this is for something he doesn't think he even signed up for?
Exactly. And says he didn't want. These stories all seem to have the same underlying question. Are banks looking out for their customers' best interests, or are they more interested in making a sale? So that's what our Marketplace team set out to investigate.
How did you go about doing that?
Well, we set up testers with hidden cameras, and then we sent them undercover to the big banks, CIBC, BMO, RBC, Scotiabank, and TD. We visited two branches for each bank in Toronto and Vancouver, and during each visit, our testers asked for help making a small deposit. We wanted to see for ourselves whether tellers would use the opportunity to pitch products.
And what happened?
Well, at some bank branches, CIBC, for instance, there was no pitch. But at others, it was a different story. At a Bank of Montreal branch, our tester got offered what the teller called a premium checking account.
Switching between the plans, there is no cost for that. So the only condition for the premium plan to have is maintain 6,000 inside the same account, primary checking.
Testers at other banks got sales pitches for things like a credit card, an upgrade to a credit card, or a line of credit.
Okay, but that also sounds like some pretty standard bank stuff. I mean, they're in it to make money. Is there a problem with this?
Well, banks are held to a different standard than other kinds of businesses, right? They have to abide by the Bank Act, for one. It was actually recently updated to include more consumer protections. Your bank is also your bank. You put a lot of trust in it. Upselling isn't necessarily against the rules, but a bank isn't a fast food joint. You trust a bank with your finances, so that's not the same as getting French fries.
Well, it's definitely not. So then what kind of things would be a red flag?
Well, you can think about situations where a bank could make it easier for a customer to run into financial problems, like extending lines of credit. To get a little more perspective on this, we talked to Sandy Martin.
But debt needs to be used in a very specific strategic way, personal to that individual.
She used to work at a bank. She left over a decade ago. Now she's an independent, certified financial planner. We got her to watch some of the footage from our hidden camera investigation.
So just so you know, you're pre-qualified to get a pre-approved personal line of credit.
Oh.
$25,000. The rate is 11.
Okay, that's a little hard to make out, but is she being offered like a $25,000 line of credit there?
She is. And now Martin says there's nothing wrong with a line of credit per se. It can be a useful financial option. But she says it needs to be part of a financial plan because the interest rate can add up fast. And the same goes for a credit card.
The ideal situation is for a credit card to be given to somebody who then keeps a balance on it and can't pay it off. But of course the bank wants to sell people credit cards. And of course the barrier to entry is going to be so low it's in the floor.
Martin says tellers can be so focused on selling a product that they don't give customers all the information they should. For example, that teller pushing the premium checking account says the customer needs to maintain $6,000 in their account or there will be fees, but doesn't mention those fees are double what our tester is currently paying.
There's a real information imbalance. And I actually don't mean between like frontline tellers and clients. But I mean between the bank that's telling the tellers to sell those things and the clients. You don't know how impactful your decisions with those financial products are going to be on you personally. The bank knows, and the bank knows how much money they're going to make from you over your lifetime, pretty much, almost down to the dollar. And so you, in your rush to get change for the yard sale or to figure out how come this transaction went through when you didn't want it to, you're not actually engaged in that kind of thinking, that what's going to be best for me thinking, and the bank knows that. So the harm is that you are treating a moment where somebody assumes they're getting a service as an opportunity to slide in there with a sale. And I think that's kind of gross.
She's feeling some pretty strong feelings there.
She sure is. And this is from someone who used to work at a bank. We wanted to find out more about what's going on today, not just with tellers, but with financial planners and advisors as well.
And the people who handle the bigger money.
Yeah, they handle stuff like mortgages, loans, investments. So we sent one of our testers undercover to all of the big five banks to meet with them, and we gave her a backstory. She said she wanted to invest a $50,000 inheritance. She also had a mortgage and some credit card debt. We wanted to see what kind of advice we would get about what to do with that 50 grand.
What did they tell her?
Well, at RBC, TD, and Scotiabank, the advisors suggested only paying off a portion of the credit card debt and using the rest of the money for investments, which earns them credits towards their sales goals.
So I'm not a financial advisor. I want to make that clear. But you would think the first stop here would be definitely just pay off that credit card debt.
Yeah, we all know the interest rate on credit cards is pretty high. Sandy Martin watched some of our hidden camera footage, and she wasn't impressed.
There is no way that you can make 19.99% on your investment. It just won't happen. Of course you should pay your credit card debt off.
Yeah, you're just not going to make 19.99% in the market, like 20% year over year. Not happening, not consistently. Like Warren Buffett wouldn't promise that. Where did they want her to put the money?
Well, generally, it was recommended that she invest in mutual funds. She even had one advisor at CIBC guarantee the returns on the investment.
The average interest you will get at least 10%.
Okay.
Absolutely more than 10%. That is why I'm saying.
Again, not a financial advisor, but a guaranteed return of 10%. This is just not a thing.
Oh, but he sure makes it sound like a sure thing. And of course, guaranteeing returns, Paul, that's a no-no. A financial advisor can talk about how the fund has performed in the past, but that's it, because it's impossible to predict the future. The tester also asked advisors about the fees charged on mutual funds. Keep in mind, those fees apply to the whole nest egg, but that's not what our tester heard at most of the banks she visited.
I heard they only take it out of the gains. So let's say if your 50,000 grows to 55,000, that 5,000 gain extension, that's where they take the 2% out of. I'm not too sure how they calculate it.
So it sounds like they're suggesting the fees are only charged on the profit, not the whole investment. But as you're saying here, that's just not how it works.
Right. All told, only one advisor gave clear and correct information about the fees. And they can really eat at the value of your portfolio. Like, they can suck up tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands even, of your investment over 20, 25 years. After watching this hidden camera footage, our independent certified financial planner, Sandy Martin, literally had her head in her hands.
Almost all of the advice that you got, I think, was influenced very heavily by the pressure to sell financial products.
So she's saying, at the very least here, these financial advisors are conflicted.
Mm-hmm. We spoke to current and former employees from Canada's big banks about whether employees are more focused on serving the customer or making a sale. They all described a high-pressure sales environment. We agreed to conceal the identities of the employees we interviewed because they fear speaking out will cost them their jobs. One of them, who recently left BMO, told me about how his employer kept track of everyone's sales and circulated them via email for staff to see.
Every week, they would release your results and display your name with what you sold.
So they're keeping score here.
Exactly. He also said his branch used a whiteboard that was up in the lunchroom with everyone's names and how much they'd sold. So their sales are constantly monitored.
I felt like I had to mislead customers in getting products that they didn't need.
We managed to get our hands on an internal BMO document from this year that shows a breakdown of how many sales credits employees can earn for each product. So let's say you sell a credit card, you get 250 points. Make it a card with annual fees, your points go up to 1,300 credits. So the more money the bank stands to make, the higher the points.
I mean, hard not to think about Alec Baldwin here in Glengarry Glen Ross. First prize, Cadillac. Second prize, steak knives.
But no prize for suggesting someone pays down their debt.
Okay, then, if you're in this job, how much of what you're doing is customer service versus meeting sales targets?
You know, I put that question to one of the bank employees we spoke with. Her answer, 90% of it is sales targets. And get this, she actually started secretly recording coaching sessions she had with managers at TD. This is one of the managers. Her words are read by someone else to protect the insider's identity.
When I hear you talking to them, it's almost like you think of them a lot. So that's why you don't want to put force on them, because you're thinking about them. It kind of backfires for you in meeting your goal.
How did she feel about this? Or really, how did any of the bank employees you talked to feel about this kind of thing?
You know, she said it feels awful and that she shouldn't have to think more about her target than her client's financial interests. Other employees have told me the pressure to make sales drove them to quit. A former teller said his branch had a room they all called the crying room because employees would go there to break down after managers pressured them over and over to sell more, meet those sales targets. He also said he felt customers weren't always getting the full story on the products they were getting, and that he was being pushed to sell them stuff they didn't need.
It was a very unethical thing to do, and I felt like I'm putting them in a worse position.
Hello, I'm Jess Milton. For 15 years, I produced The Vinyl Cafe with the late, great Stuart McLean. Every week, more than 2 million people tuned in to hear funny, fictional, feel-good stories about Dave and his family. We're excited to welcome you back to the warm and welcoming world of The Vinyl Cafe with our new podcast, Backstage at The Vinyl Cafe. Each week, we'll share two hilarious stories by Stuart, and for the first time ever, I'll tell you what it was like behind the scenes. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
What do the banks have to say about any of this?
TD did send a statement responding to those secret recordings of managers' coaching sessions and said the conversations captured on tape are completely unacceptable and go against the bank's code of conduct, performance policies, and training. All of the big five banks declined interviews. They pointed us instead to the Canadian Bankers Association, which sent a statement. It said, our findings do not reflect the experience that millions of Canadians have every day at the banks. They add that a more formal analysis of a client's needs is expected to be performed when moving from an initial conversation to establishing an investment.
Huh. So that's the industry response. What about regulators?
Well, the Financial Consumer Agency of Canada also declined an interview and sent a statement saying it had concerns about banks' sales practices and takes the matter seriously.
Well, do we have any idea about what taking the matter seriously looks like?
Not exactly. The statement goes on to say that banks should only sell products to consumers if it's appropriate, and they expect banks to ensure employees have the skills to fulfill that responsibility.
Okay, yeah, that all sounds good, but what if it doesn't happen?
Well, the regulator does have the power to levy fines and other penalties, but it rarely does compared to its counterparts in the U.S. and the U.K. Duff Conacher is a consumer advocate and co-founder of Democracy Watch. He says the solution is pretty simple.
The agency just needs to follow Law Enforcement 101, which means you're doing regular unannounced inspections. When you catch violations, the penalties have to be high enough to take away any profit that the bank made from violating the law.
Conacher argues the regulator is letting banks off the hook. His take on our hidden camera findings, the banks were actually breaking the law, violating clauses in the Bank Act that say banks are required to offer appropriate products and services and can't take advantage of customers. He says since no one's really cracking down on the banks, it's up to the finance minister, Chrystia Freeland, to make the regulator do its job, order more frequent inspections at the banks, and issue hefty fines if they're caught breaking the law. So we tried for weeks to get an interview with Freeland, but no dice. A statement from her office said the government has zero tolerance for banks offering misleading or inappropriate financial advice and has introduced new consumer protections in the Bank Act.
Okay, but as you're saying, those protections still do need to be enforced. Mm-hmm. Erica, you've done stories on banks before, on the sales culture at banks before. Since you started looking into this, has anything changed?
Well, we did investigate upselling at the Big Five banks 7 years ago, and at that time, employees told us there was high pressure to make sales targets. They also told us that products were sometimes being added to accounts without the customer's knowledge, like secretly increasing lines of credit. And there were calls for more regulation back then, too. So what we found in our reporting, Paul, 7 years later, is that clearly that sales culture persists.
Okay, then. So today, if you're someone, you go into your bank, how do you know the difference between advice being given in good faith, like, hey, you should look at a line of credit, this could be good for you, and, you know, getting upsold?
The big question is, did you ask for this product and do you need it? And bear in mind that bank employees all have these sales targets, so maybe don't commit to anything in the heat of the moment.
So even if it sounds pretty good, take a beat, maybe don't get swept up.
Yeah. The employees I talked to for this story say they are speaking out because they want consumers to be aware of the high-pressure sales environment at Canada's big banks and the upselling that's happening. As one former bank teller told me, get a second opinion.
Well, thanks, Erica.
Good to talk to you, Paul.
You too. CBC reporter Erica Johnson investigated this story along with Marketplace journalists Madeline McNair, Jeremy McDonald, Kimberly Ivany, Michelle McCann, Tiffany Foxcroft, and Nalisha Villani. You can find Marketplace in a few places. CBC Gem, YouTube, good old-fashioned appointment TV on CBC, Fridays at 8 p.m., 8:30 in Newfoundland and Labrador. This podcast episode was produced by Allison Dempster and Jennifer Keane with help from Carla Hilton. I'm Paul Havershrood. Thanks for listening.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.